Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Nice to have you back with us again. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We have a fascinating lady with us today who is going to talk to us about a medical modality known as EMDR. And if you don't know anything about that, you are going to learn a lot. EMDR, let me just tell you a little bit about the doctor and then about EMDR and what it is. Our guest grew up in Israel. Her name is Irit Goldman, and she wanted to be a psychotherapist. She knew that. She also wanted to focus on children. She never dreamt that a few years later, as a special education teacher to help her align with counseling children who have really special needs, she would grow into a lengthy career. When Dr. Goldman retired after 37 years in the field of education, 13 of it in Israel, she finally had the time to focus on one of her other great passions, that is diagnosing and healing patients using EMDR. She's one of only three clinicians in her part of California that are certified in this bilateral brain stimulation technique. It helps people cope with trauma and avert PTSD. That's why she was requested to counsel responders to the raging wildfires this fall in California, and why she volunteered to be on the front lines of a war in Israel a few years back. She is going to explain to us today just what EMDR is, how it was discovered, and how useful it can be to unlock the brain section that stores memories. EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitizing Reprocessing. Let me repeat that. Eye movement desensitizing reprocessing. It is a mouthful to say, but it's not that hard to understand, especially when Dr. Goldman uses the analogy of the digestive system to explain how things get processed and eliminated by the human body. And by activating two sides of your brain to work together with eye movement, similar to those in your sleep, people are able to really understand and process treatments and traumas, like being in a car accident, witnessing a crime, or suffering sexual or psychological or physical abuse, and also to feel safe, confident, and whole again. Dr. Goldman, by the way, received her master's degree in marriage and family therapy in 2002, and then she got a doctorate in clinical psychology in 2004. And she has been training in EMDR in 2009 and frequently uses or speaks about this remarkable technique. So let's bring our guest on now. Her name, again, is Dr. Irit Goldman. She is based out in Modesto, California, and so I'd like to have her on the line with us today. Dr. Goldman, welcome. Nice to have you here. How are you? Are you there? Can you hear me, Dr. Goldman? Oh, my gosh. For some reason or other, Dr. Goldman is not talking to me, but she's on the line. Hold on just a minute. Don't go away.
Okay. Yes, I am. Because it was totally silent.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Before it was dead and just I heard beeping sounds.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, technicalities. In modern society today, we had a few technical issues, but we're back, and you're on now with us, and things are golden. So let us talk about this process known as EMDR. I understand that you became fascinated with this, and you trained in this specialty. Can you tell us a little bit about, number one, what caught your interest in it, and then how this technique was discovered? How do you describe that? What caught your interest?
What caught my interest was very interesting. When I was in my master's program, we had a gal that had a car accident, and instead of driving to class on the freeway for 10 minutes, she would drive side roads for about an hour. One of the instructor was also an EMDR therapist, and even though it was not in our curriculum, she introduced us to that modality, and she asked for a volunteer. Now, when you have a car accident, we call it small T, meaning it's a small trauma, so it was a single trauma. And she demonstrated in class probably half an hour of work with her on the accident, and that was it. And the following day, we were all kind of excited, waiting to see how she drove to class. And when she came, she had a big smile on her face, and she said, I drove on the freeway 10 minutes, and nothing bothered me. So it really caught my attention way back then. In my doctorate program, I learned a little more about EMDR, and in 2009, I finally decided to go ahead and train formally with all the levels of EMDR. It's a very, very intense training, but I decided to do that because I saw the results. How it was discovered?
Yeah.
Dr. Francine
Shapiro. I was
going to
ask you that.
Yeah, you asked me. That's why I'm answering. Dr. Francine Shapiro was walking her dog in Menlo Park in 1987, and she noticed that when she was thinking about traumatic events in her life, while she was moving her eyes in a certain way, and by the way, EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing. She noticed that while she was moving her eyes like in a REM sleep in a very rapid way from side to side, the thought that she had before that bothered her no longer bothered her. She felt relief. It was okay. So she was curious, and she started to bring different thoughts from different events in her life that impacted her. And each time when she did that rapid eye movement, the thought no longer bothered her. So she started training people in her office, treating people in her office while they shared their stories. She had them follow her fingers. And again, people responded with, oh, doesn't bother me anymore. So she knew she stumbled on something. In 1987, we didn't quite take it so seriously. It was kind of, what kind of psychology are you selling us? It's too good to be true. But the more time went, and at that time there was not much research. The more time went, and the more people that went through EMDR, and especially after 9/11, many victims that really suffered greatly recovered in a relatively short time. It started to take like crazy. There was research after research after research was done. And what we found out is that traumatic memories get stuck. They're not processed all the way. So I'll prove it to you with a little experiment, if you will. I want you to think about a traumatic event in your life as young as you remember. And trauma doesn't have to be accident or war or murder. It can be kids bullying you in school or a teacher that made unkind comment or whatever it can be. I want you to think about a traumatic event in your life as young as you remember. Don't tell me what it was. Just tell me how old you were.
Well, I mean, I'm the first. I think of something that goes back to when I was maybe 12. I'm sure
okay.
There was stuff before that.
So
I just
12,
don't remember.
You were a sixth grader, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay. Who was sitting next to you in class when you were sixth grader?
Well, the event didn't happen in a classroom. But
I don't
want me
care.
To...
But if you remember one event, you should remember the other. Do you see my point?
I do.
You probably don't remember who was sitting next to you in class. Because
you're
it
right,
didn't
I
have any impact on you, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Correct.
But the memory of whatever happened, the event that happened in sixth grade, you still remember. Why? Because we found out the traumatic memories are not processed. They're getting stuck. And this is how people end up with anxiety and depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. The information processing system gets stuck. And
do me a favor. Let me ask you a question. When you say the memory doesn't get processed, What does that mean? It doesn't get processed.
Okay, I'll give you an analogy from the digestive system. Okay, when you eat food,
sure,
and the system is working well and it's digesting the food and you eliminate what you need to eliminate and the body takes the nutrient it needs to take, you're healthy, you're fine, no problem. But if there is any problem with the food that gets stuck in there and the digestive system does not digest it, you have stomachache, you have other issues, and you're suffering and you're hurting and you're curling like a ball. Similarly, the information processing system in the brain. So if you have a paper and a pen, and I would encourage the audience to do the same, I will ask you to draw one big circle. In that big circle, draw another circle that is smaller. And in
mm-hmm.
the smaller circle, draw another circle that is even smaller than the middle one. On the very small circle, put a dot or a small tiny little mark on the right side of it. So imagine the brain is a circle. The brain is not a circle, but imagine it is. It has three parts. The first, the smallest part, is the reptilian brain. The reptilian brain is your fright or flight response brain. Someone walked behind you in an alley and yelled, boo, and you jump, and the reptilian brain secretes a lot of cortisol and adrenaline. You run, and you save your life, and then it comes down. Around it, the bigger circle is the limbic system. The limbic system is responsible for your feelings. This is where you feel safe, unsafe, loved, unloved, so on and so forth. And around the two, the biggest circle is what we call the neocortex, where higher thinking skills take place, where language skills. So what happened during trauma, the little tiny dot that you marked in the smallest circle that is the reptilian brain, the fright or flight
mm-hmm.
response, this is
mm-hmm.
a part in the brain that is called amygdala. And all your experiences in life go through the central nervous system to the amygdala. The information processing system move it through, like whoever sat next to you in sixth grade, it didn't impact you. It was processed. It's somewhere in a filing cabinet in your neocortex. You never use this information, so that file kind of got rusted, so you cannot put that information out. Maybe if someone will hypnotize you, you will find out that Johnny was sitting next to you. But it didn't impact you. What impacted you was an event in sixth grade that the information processing system was not able to process it. It stuck in a fragmented way in the tiny little part that is called amygdala. Now, where is
mm-hmm.
the amygdala? In the reptilian brain. What is the reptilian brain? It's your fright or flight response. So imagine a car that you go into the parking lot, and instead of turning off the ignition, you just walk away and go and do your shopping and come back. And if something jump in front of the car, all of a sudden you will push the brake on it and there will be a lot of rattling. That's how the reptilian brain reacts when there is trauma still stuck in that part of the brain. It's like a car that is never turned off. And this is why people get flashbacks, they have nightmares, some people have depression, some people develop severe anxiety. So initially, it was treating people with post-traumatic stress. But now, in 2018, we treat a whole gamut of things. We treat addiction. I have people with OCD that I treat with EMDR. I have a client that have identity dissociative disorder. I'm working with her with EMDR. We do a lot of things. There is EMDR class for treating chronic headaches. this is going to be the treatment of the future. It is short and it's permanent. And what it does, when we do the eye movement, what we found out that Dr. Shapiro did, when you're listening to me right now, the left side of your brain fire neurons like crazy. You take the information I'm giving you, you process it, and it goes into the filing cabinet somewhere in the neocortex. Someone will ask you in 2 weeks from now, what do you know about EMDR? Oh, wait a minute, let me pull this information and I'll tell you. But if you won't use it for the next 10, 20 years, you'll say, oh, you know what, I knew something about it, but I don't remember because it didn't impact you. But I lost my train of thought. I was going with it somewhere.
Well, I mean, you're making a lot of sense. Let me just ask you a question. I know you treat people with EMDR. First off, when clients come to you for this kind of treatment, what are they suffering from that, you know, that prompts you to use EMDR modality
Good
to
question.
Teach them? What are their problems?
John, first of all, I don't decide right from the get-go that this is a client I'm going to use EMDR. I do thorough history taking. I try to figure out if we're dealing with clinical depression or something that may have been run in generation, from generation to generation, it may not be suitable. And EMDR is not suitable for everybody. I have a client right now, after all these years that I've been using EMDR, that I'm starting to think that EMDR is not for that client. But when I take the history, when people describe severe anxiety or severe depression, my question goes to, when did they notice it first? And if they'll tell me, oh, 4 years ago, my next question will be, what happened 4 years ago? And when I get the flavor that we're dealing in here with anything that had impacted the brain and the well-being of the client, then when I do the treatment plan, and I don't give treatment plan the first session, because first and second sessions are just collecting information, doing thorough history. I need to kind of figure out what is the problem, where I'm going with it, and then I present them with a treatment plan. I will tell you that I use EMDR for a good 80% of my clientele, and I see about 40-some people every week.
Wow.
So when I present it to them, pardon?
Let me ask you a question, for example, about one of your clients. You had written this down for me about one of the clients came, had a real serious fear of visiting her father after her parents divorced.
Right.
And you treated her with EMDR.
Right.
What happened as a result of that?
Okay, she had no memory of any kind why she felt so uneasy and uncomfortable being in the same room with her father. She never had any memory of it. So we don't always go with a memory. We go with the body sensation, with the feelings, with a negative belief, and her negative belief is I'll be harmed. And we start from that. As we do, oh, I know where I was going with that. When you're listening to me with your left side of the brain firing neurons, but what Francine Shapiro did, when she did that eye movement, right to left, she created what we call bilateral stimulation to the brain, where both sides of the brain fire neurons. And in 100% of the time, make your hand a fist, okay? When you have that fist, this is the amygdala that's holding that junk, whatever memories that are upsetting you, or sometimes it's the body, like the client that you mentioned. She felt extremely anxious and uncomfortable around her father. She didn't have any memory of whatever happened. When you give the brain that bilateral stimulation, both sides of the brain start to fire neurons very rapidly. So now open slowly your hand, and now you have five memory networks that open, and all of a sudden you will say, oh, I remember this happened to me. And as you do the bilateral stimulation, and it's much more involved process than just what I'm telling you. There is a whole process to go through the EMDR treatment, but they're able to reprocess, hence the R in EMDR, they're able to reprocess whatever traumatic event happened to them and move it from the reptilian brain now to the neocortex. So I'll get back to that client in a minute. So I'll give you an example. If I have a patient that came from Afghanistan and he's sitting in my office in the middle of Modesto, there is no shooting going on the street. There is no machine guns. I have a window that goes into a main street, and cars drive by. So imagine that client sitting in my office, and we're talking, and a car drive by and backfire. This patient will be under the table in a minute looking for coverage because the trigger was so strong. After EMDR, if you take the exact same scenario, the patient is sitting in my room, a car drive by and backfire, and he will turn his head back and say, oh, wow, that sounded like the shooting in Afghanistan. Different reaction. Yeah. Reacting from the logic part of the brain and not from the fright or flight response of the brain. So in regard to that patient, we worked on her sensation, her bodily sensation. Memories did not come up. Sometimes my hunch is that she was molested. I don't know if it was the father or any other figure. That was my hunch from taking history, from her dating history growing up, from her she didn't want to get married. Anything that had to do with male figure, she avoided. So there was a very strong suggestion in there, and the fact that her body reacted so strongly when she was alone with her father, I don't know if it was her father that molested her or not, but we did the EMDR on the body sensation, on her belief that she is not safe, and where she felt that feeling of unsafe and fear in her body, and we processed that. And today she's married. She has a little girl. She's visiting dad on a regular basis. She was a little gun-shy at the beginning to leave the baby with him. And nothing is happening there. The relationship are very good. So,
that's great. Let me get to a question about how you treat people with EMDR. What's the process that you use to help people with this?
Yeah, so there are 8 steps, and the first step is definitely taking that sorrow history. You take the history, and then you figure out what is the part that they need to process, and then I do assign them homework that they need to watch a couple of videos that are on my website that show videos on EMDR, the treatment, and the results. And then when they come in for EMDR session, then there is a whole protocol that we go through. I don't want any of the audience to think that it is something simple that they can do by themselves, thinking about traumatic event, moving their eyes, and they will be fine. It is very complicated process. You need to be very well trained, and some people that try to do it on their own, or sometimes we have clinicians that take only level one. It's expensive to train, so they don't continue further, and they cause a lot of damage. You can re-traumatize yourself. So I cannot emphasize it strong enough. Do not attempt to do it on your own. And if you do choose to go through any EMDR treatment, go through EMDRIA, which is the EMDR International Association, and look for a therapist through our association. You want to scroll down to the end of each page that you find and see if that clinician is already certified or not, because we can join the organization while we're in the process of being trained. So if it says that the person is not certified, I would be gun shy to go to someone that didn't go through all the training, because the second level of training is very involved, and that's where we learn. When I do EMDR with the patient, my eyes don't leave them. I look for facial expressions. I look for their breathing speed. I know when they are on a wave and when they're off a wave, and I know when they get stuck. And when they get stuck, we introduce what we call interweave to help them. What I failed to tell you is that the first step with EMDR, we don't start right away processing trauma, but we install it's professional jargon because you cannot really install anything in the brain, but we establish, I think it's a better word, all sorts of resources that those clients can use at home. We establish a calm, peaceful place that they can go to while they tap either on their lap or their arms. We call it the butterfly tap. We establish a team of protectors, nurturing figures, if the problem requires this kind of resources. I am very big on resourcing. I do inner strength, and I do a lot of resourcing because it helps the patient through the process. And I had a fantastic example yesterday in my office when someone needed to bring her protectors to the scene that she was processing when she was 5 years old. So she couldn't bring her adult self. She wanted her protectors to be with her five-year-old self to do what needed to be done and say what needed to be said, and she felt safe. She was able to process it. Now, the way we measure how much they recover, it's on a scale of 0 to 10. 0, it doesn't disturb you at all. 10 is the highest when they bring an image of whatever trauma it is. And oftentimes they start anywhere between 7 to 10. By the end of the treatment.
I hate to interrupt you, Doctor, but we're about out of time. I want one quick question. How long does it take you to get results from using this modality with your EMDR? Is it over a period of a couple of weeks or less?
Yeah, well, it depends on the trauma. If you talk about a person that have complex trauma, it can take a little longer. Single trauma, I'm working with someone that had car accident and has not driven on the freeway for 6 years. In 3 sessions, she came back and she said, Christmas break, I drove on the freeway.
Yeah.
So it can be very fast when we're looking at single trauma, sometimes single session. And sometimes it can be 6 months. Again, it depends on how complex the trauma is.
Well, it's such
That's
a fascinating
what happened when
subject.
People ask me about EMDR. I'm very passionate about it, so I will talk about it until someone stops me, and thank you for stopping me.
Well, I want to point out you have a great website. It's marriageandfamilytherapymodesto.com. Marriageandfamilytherapymodesto.com. And that's where people can get in touch with you. That's how they learn more about it. There are videos on your website. It's a great website with a lot of information. And I think anybody who has any glimpse or any thought that this could be of help to them would be wise to look at your website. So, Dr. Goldman, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. This was fascinating, to say the least. Okay?
Yes,
we appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you reaching out. I'd like people to know about EMDR and use it. And it is going to be the treatment of the future.
That's a great way to put it, Doctor. Thank you so much. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and that's it for this show. Take care, everybody. Bye for now.